thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to get to know you all. Hare Krishna. Is everyone comfortably situated? Our movement is very small now, but very soon there will be a time when we'll have huge temples everywhere, where we can accommodate thousands of people. In Mayapur, we are building a temple where we can, in one hall, we can fit 25,000 people. And that is just one section of the temple. That'll be the largest temple in the world. And we'll start our construction from the year 2000. So, this movement is only about 30 years old, 31 years old in the West. Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1965. And he set up ISKCON in 1966. And within 10 years' time, Srila Prabhupada spread this movement all over the world. And in that respect, we can remember that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread in every town and village. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted 500 years ago. But we can see that through Srila Prabhupada, that prediction has become true. Now, this Krishna consciousness movement actually has spread all over the world. And you will see that as the time passes, this movement will become more and more established, and more people will join us. There is one condition for accepting this Krishna consciousness. Do you know what is this condition? One condition for accepting this God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. The condition is one has to be intelligent. This movement is not meant for unintelligent people. It's meant only for intelligent people. And only the intelligent class of people will join. Now it's not that I'm just saying it just for the sake of saying it. Actually, we can... I was wondering who is giving the class. So, should you go sentence by sentence, or you can do it? No. How is it? At least you have to speak, otherwise others won't hear.
Maybe you can go in the other room.
Other room? But then how will he hear? It's alright.
Do you want a phrase by phrase or sentence by sentence?
Will it be better, like if we go sentence by sentence? No? You think it's better this way? Yeah. Okay. Close the window. Now, why does one have to be intelligent to accept Krishna consciousness movement? Why? Because unless and until one is intelligent, he will not be able to understand that there is something beyond matter. The less intelligent people, they just accept what they see. And they think that that is the reality. He sees this world around him, and he thinks that this world is meant for enjoyment. But a person who is intelligent, he will consider that in this world there are two different types of objects. Like if we consider this room, in this room we notice that there are two different types of objects. Like for example, the floor, the wall, the door, the seat, the window, the curtain, they are one type, right? They all are inert. But we all here, we are living, isn't it? Is there any difference between this seat and me? Gibt es einen Unterschied? Dog. Yeah. So, what is that difference between the seat?
Right. Conscious.
The seat is not conscious, but I am conscious. The seat is not living, but I am alive. Now, doesn't it apply to all of us? Huh? It applies. You are alive, you are conscious. What about you? Yeah? So how many of you are conscious? Now, why some things are conscious and some other things are not conscious? Did you ever consider? I'll make this point a little more clear. Now, I am talking to you sitting here, and you all are thinking that, yes, he has come here and he is speaking to us. Isn't it? He is here and he is speaking to us. But now, if I drop dead, then my body will be lying here, but you will say he is gone. Isn't it? Now, who is that is gone? My body will be lying here, but why do you say that I'll be gone? So that is the one who made the body alive. As long as that was in the body was alive. As soon as he leaves the body becomes dead. Right? Now, who is that? Do you have any information? How many of you have the information about him? Raise your hand. Now, okay, those who have information, please tell me, who is he? Very good. The soul. Now, do we have any information about soul? Do we know about the soul? Or if we want to know about the soul, then you have to join ISKCON. How many of you want to have informations about the soul? Please, those who want to have informations about the soul, please raise your hand. Now, can you get the information in the University of Basel? Can you get the information about the spirit soul in the University of Basel? Or University of Zurich? Or in the gymnasium in Munster? No. Do you know any place where you can get the information about the soul? Anybody? Do you know? Very good.
Who said that?
Gyamsa is very well informed. So that's why I said one has to be really intelligent to join ISKCON, isn't it? Because one has to be seriously curious to know about the spirit soul. The people, those who are not interested about the spirit soul, they don't have any reason to join ISKCON. They can rather go and spend their time in the pub, drinking beer. That's what they're doing. Most of the people are just out there in the beer stube. Drinking and trying to enjoy their lives. But are they enjoying? Those who really want to enjoy, they must come and join ISKCON. Now when you join ISKCON, what happens? Now let us consider the difference between the people, those who are in the beer house or in the pub, and those who are here in this temple of ISKCON. What is the difference? There, they are simply trying to drink and forget their and lose their consciousness. Intoxication, drinking is intoxication. Intoxication means, do you know the word toxin? Give poison. Toxin is poison. So intoxication means taking poison. Now do you think it's very intelligent to take poison? And when you take poison, what happens? Do you increase your life when you drink poison? No. When you drink poison, what happens? When you drink poison, you die. And death means you lose your consciousness. So when one wants to lose his consciousness, then he ends up in a place like that. But when one wants to gain his consciousness, then he comes to you. And when you come to ISKCON, then what do the devotees tell you? How many of you are coming to ISKCON on a regular basis? Please raise your hand. Is there any newcomer? Anyone who is coming for the first time? Oh, you're coming for the first time. Very good. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. I hope I'm not going to be too heavy for you. Okay, so... You see, when you come here, we'll tell you, don't eat meat. We tell you, don't take intoxication. We tell you, don't indulge in illicit sex life. And we tell you that don't indulge in gambling. It's pretty heavy, eh? But why do we do that? Why do we tell you to do that? Because they are detrimental to our consciousness. When you eat meat, then you make your stomach into a graveyard. You take intoxication, you kill your consciousness. You indulge in illicit sex life, you lose your vitality. And you indulge in gambling, you lose all your money. Therefore, gambling is not only lose your money, you actually speculate. And by speculating, you go away from truth. But if we want to understand the absolute truth, then we have to become situated in truth. Isn't it common sense? If we want to understand the absolute truth, can we situate in falsehood, falsehood, and understand the absolute truth? We have to actually become situated in truth. Therefore, those who want to tread the spiritual path, they should become truthful. They should not lie. Those who want to aspire for spiritual life, they must retain their vitality, the life energy. That's why they must abstain from illicit sex. Preferably to abstain from sex altogether. Every religion actually says that. To make advancement in spiritual life, one must be a celibate. But those who are in the household life, they, for the sake of procreation, can indulge in sex life. But that is just for the sake of procreation, not for anything else. Then one who wants to make advancement in spiritual life must abstain from intoxication. It is clear, spiritual life means immortality. Life of immortality. And immortality is attained through nectar. But intoxication is taking poison. So if you take poison, then you won't become immortal. If you take poison, then you will accelerate your death. Those who take intoxication, they invite death. And meat eating is bad because meat eating is violence. When one eats meat, naturally leads one to commit violence to other living entities. Now, the spiritual life is opposed to violence. One has to be internally very peaceful to make spiritual advancement. Therefore, he cannot afford to be violent. And after following these four principles, when one chants the holy name of the Lord, that means when one prays to the Lord for His mercy, then he receives the mercy of the Lord and makes spiritual advance. So that's why that is the difference between those who want to indulge in materialistic way of life and those who want to accept spiritual life. Spiritual life is a life of austerity. But austerity does not mean that those who take to spiritual life to suffer. This austerity means abstinence from unnecessary activities or detrimental activities. Things that are harmful, we don't do that. Like eating meat is harmful. Taking intoxication is harmful. Indulging in illicit sex is harmful. Indulging in gambling is harmful. Therefore, they must be stopped. One must abstain from these activities. And that's why it seems that it is austere. But actually one who practices spiritual life, he realizes that it's actually wonderful. Because when you lead your life like that, then you can see your consciousness is expanding. And isn't it wonderful to expand your consciousness? In the early in the morning when you wake up and the world, the day is just beginning and you become so fresh and so aware of the surrounding, then don't you feel great? Now when you take to spiritual life, you feel that way all the time. And not only that, your consciousness expands. Actually, spiritual life is a process of expanding your consciousness. This also has been explained in the Vedic scriptures in a very beautiful way. Now, we just establish that point that living entities are conscious. Is that acceptable? All the living entities are conscious. Is it acceptable?
Yes.
Everyone accepted that point that living entities are conscious. Now, this consciousness has different stages. Like if we see that around us there are different types of living entities. Like there is a tree here. Now this tree, is it a living entity? It's a living entity. But so the tree is conscious, but its consciousness is practically covered. Apparently it doesn't seem that the tree has any consciousness. Only when we very carefully analyze the tree, then we see, yes, it is conscious. It has consciousness. So the trees fall into the category of covered consciousness. Then you have seen some worms, some insects, some reptiles, some birds, some beasts. Now they are also conscious, but their consciousness is in a shrunken state. They are conscious, but not really that much conscious. So that is the second stage of consciousness, called the shrunken state of consciousness. And from the worms to the animals fall in that category. Then the third stage of consciousness is called the bud consciousness, bud stage of consciousness. The bud is apparently, it is also in a shrunken state. The petals are in a shrunken state. But the bud has the ability to bloom. And the human beings fall in that category. The bud state of consciousness. And then now a bud, in order to bloom into a flower, needs two conditions. It needs the rays of the sun and water. Like when the bud has water and is exposed to the sun, then the bud blooms into a flower. Now the human consciousness, when he is exposed to God under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, then his consciousness begins to bloom. So the bud state of consciousness begins to bloom. So that's the fourth stage of consciousness, called the blooming state of consciousness. And when the consciousness is, when one becomes fully aware of God, then it is called the fully bloomed state of consciousness. So this is how you can see that there are different stages of consciousness, and the ultimate state of consciousness is the fully bloomed state of consciousness, or the consciousness where one becomes fully aware of the Supreme Personality of God. And that is the perfection of life. Now those who want to expand their consciousness, they should take advantage of this process. This process of becoming exposed to the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. And then our consciousness, which is in a bud state, will gradually bloom into a fully bloomed state of consciousness. And when one attains that stage, then he becomes completely free from the bondage of matter. This body is made of matter. And we all have become caught up in this bondage. Although we are not matter, but we are identifying ourselves with the body. And whatever is happening to the body, we are thinking that that's what is happening to me. That is called the body consciousness. But actually we are not this body. This body is just a covering. Just as we are wearing different dresses. So similarly, this body is like a dress to the spirit soul. Now, you may be wearing a dress, you may be wearing a white jacket, but you don't say that I am a white jacket. You say that? Or you don't identify yourself with the jacket that you are, the dress that you wear. It is only the covering. Similarly, this body is the covering of the soul. But the real identity is the spirit soul. When I say I, that I is that soul, that spiritual soul. But due to our ignorance, we identify ourselves with the body. We say, well, it is me that is being feeling cold in Switzerland. But it's actually the body that is feeling cold. My body is hungry, but I say, oh, I'm so hungry. So this is the bondage of the body. But when you become situated in a pure spiritual identity, then you become completely free from the bondage of the body. And at that time, even though we may be dwelling in the body, but we are not affected by the body. Therefore, one should cultivate this process of spiritual development. And this, the process of developing spiritually is by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because the Lord is the Supreme Spirit and we all are His parts and parcels. So when we develop our relationship with the Lord, then we become situated in our pure spiritual identity. In that pure spiritual identity, one becomes free from the bondage of matter. Then he does not become affected by whatever happens to the body. And the soul is not actually affected by the affairs of this material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna gives the spiritual knowledge very, very succinctly, in a very systematic and orderly way, Krishna in the beginning is saying that the spirit soul cannot be cut by any weapon. It cannot be burnt by fire. It cannot be moistened by water, nor can it be dried by air. That is, the spirit soul is not at all affected by anything in this material nature. The fire cannot burn it. The fire may burn the body, but the fire cannot burn me. A weapon can cut my body, but no weapon can cut me, the spirit soul. And the human life is meant to recognize that fact. I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. And nothing in this material nature can affect my spirit soul. And that spirit soul comes from the spiritual world. That spirit soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the ultimate perfection of the existence of the spirit soul is to become reunited with the Supreme Spirit, God. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to distribute this knowledge to whoever is interested. And those who are really intelligent will aspire for this knowledge from this spiritual organization. I'm very happy to see so many of you are regularly coming here and cultivating this knowledge. And I'm also seeing quite a few new faces. So all are welcome. Please take advantage of this wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada gave. Take advantage and make your life successful. It is not, it's not that this is an Indian knowledge and you are Swiss or European, so and so. Knowledge is knowledge. You're not Swiss, you're a spirit soul. And when you take advantage of this knowledge, then you will be able to become situated in your spiritual identity. It's not, it may appear that the knowledge is coming from India, but actually it's a universal knowledge, it's a spiritual knowledge. It's not just like the sun rises in the east. Now do you think that the sun belongs to the east? No. The sun, you know, the sun actually is not a part of this world. And everybody can take advantage of the light of the sun. So wherever this knowledge is coming from is not important. What matters is whether this knowledge makes sense. And if it does make sense, then please take advantage of this knowledge. And you will see your life will become useful. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
So you said that we are not these bodies and we don't have to identify with the pain and pleasures and so on. But still we see that although we know theoretically we're not this body, we're spirit soul, still we are so much suffering when there is some headache or toothache or whatever. So it seems very theoretical, the whole thing, not very practical. Is that the question?
Yes, very good point. Yeah.
So in the last lecture, we should be finished with the day, and then on the next part, and then on the next day, just then we are in the Krankheit haben, oder fahren wir haben, dann tut uns weh. So das scheint ziemlich theoretisch sein, das ganze Sache.
So, yes. Actually, Krishna consciousness or spiritual, the process of spiritual advancement is a very practical process. There is nothing artificial about it. When our consciousness is limited to the body or related to the body, there is no need to artificially say that we are not attached to the body. But we can recognize that we have a body and for the time being we are related to the body, connected to the body. So Krishna consciousness actually teaches to use the body for spiritual activities and thus become free, or rather thus become situated in the spiritual identity and become free from the bondage of the body. Like for example, when we have the body needs food. Body, in order to function, the body needs food. Body becomes hungry. Now, we can't say, well, I'm not this body. When my stomach is burning for food out of hunger, I can't artificially say I'm not this body. So, the spiritual process is, okay, you are hungry, so eat Krishna Prasad. And Krishna Prasad is the mercy of the Lord in the form of food. And if we take the mercy of the Lord in the form of food, then by taking that food, we become free from the bondage of matter. The body needs to sleep. We say, okay, sleep. But sleep for 6 hours. And try to remain awake and serve the Lord. When the body is feeling cold, then we are not saying that, well, tolerate the cold. No, we make necessary arrangements. We get the warm clothes and we get the some heater in the room. In this way, as long as we have the body, we take care of the body in order to engage it in the service of the Lord. Actually, the devotee's understanding is that the body is a gift of nature. And especially when one gets the human body, it is a very special gift that one receives from the nature. Because when one gets the human body, as I mentioned earlier, that he gets an opportunity to expand his consciousness to an unlimited extent so that he can understand the Supreme Personality of God. So it is a wonderful gift of nature, and we must take full advantage of it. Take care of this body and engage this body in the service of the Lord, and just by doing that we can make spiritual advancement. And one should be very careful not to waste this wonderful gift of nature by using these human facilities in order to lead a life like that of an animal. See, animal life is eating, sleeping, mating and defending. In spite of getting a human body, if we are just leading our life to eat, to sleep, to have sex and to defend ourselves from different attacks, then that is not a human way to lead one's life. Human life is based on 3 questions. Who I am? Who am I? Where did I come from? And what is the purpose of my existence? Then only the human life actually transcends the animal platform and comes to the real human platform. Who I am? Who am I? That's the first question. Am I this body or am I something else? Where did I come from? Did I just come from my mother's belly? No, the body came from my mother's womb. But I am not this body. I am a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I came from the spiritual world. And what am I supposed to do here? The goal of life is to take advantage of this human form of life, recognize our spiritual identity, and go back to the spiritual world. Okay, any other questions? The question is that some people identify themselves with the ego, which is not the body, not the spirit soul. Actually, ego is a body, it's a subtle body. We have two types of material body: gross material body. This body is the gross body, and beyond this gross body, we have a subtle body. And the false ego, the ego that you are speaking of, is actually the subtle body. The subtle body is made of, the gross body is made of earth, water, fire, air and ether. But the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence and ego. So that's also a body, that's a subtle body. So yes, you're correct. Like some people do not really identify themselves with the gross body, but they identify themselves with the subtle body. But we have to even transcend the subtle body. We have to transcend the platform of our mind, our intelligence, material intelligence, our ego, and then we will come to the platform of our spiritual identity, the spiritual soul. You see, the first person that we have to convince and if I'm convinced, to accept it. And I can tell you, if you are convinced, and if somebody is listening to you, if somebody listens to you, you know, with a little open heart, then he also will become convinced. But if you are not convinced, then you won't be able to convince anyone else. Right? Genja? Very good question. Krishna made this world, then why there is evil in this world? Okay. So before we say Krishna made this world, we have to also understand why Krishna made this world. This nature Krishna created, do you know why? So that those who do not want to accept Krishna can independently try to enjoy. And as a result of that, suffer so much that finally they realize that they made a mistake. Right? Just to make this point a little more clear, I'll give an example. The king creates a prison. Right? Now, does the king create the prison to go there and have a good time? Why does the king make the prison? Why? Right. For the criminals, the law breakers. Those who don't want to abide by the law, those who go against the law, they are put into the prison and made to go through punishments so that they realize that it is bad to break the law of the king. Right? So similarly, Krishna created this material nature for those criminals like ourselves who do not want to accept Krishna's law. But more we break Krishna's law, what is the result? the more we suffer. Right? And through this suffering, we come to realize that we shouldn't do that. So evil means to go against Krishna. Right? Krishna didn't create evil. Absence of Krishna is evil. Just as absence of light is darkness. See, light did not create darkness. But when the light is absent, it becomes dark. Welcome.
About the personality of sin, Baba Purusha, how this, or why?
Everything is a person in the spiritual context. Everything is a person. All the sin is actually generating from that personality. Yes.
Whether there has ever been a time when there was no need for creating material universe or souls who parted from Krishna. Does the scripture tell us anything about this?
Yes. Yeah. Was there ever a time when this material nature was not, I won't say created, but I'll say manifest?
Yes.
Right? Yes. The souls have two different stages actually of existence. One is wakeful state, and the other is sleeping state. Right? Now, sleep state we know. Like when you fall asleep, then we are not really aware of our surroundings. Right? Then this sleep is actually, it extends further in death. Death is a kind of a sleep. The difference between sleep and death is, in sleep we wake up in the same body. Isn't it? But in death we wake up in another body. Right? Now there are two types of, this death is actually annihilation. Like finish, in a sort of end. Right? Annihilation. Now there are two types of annihilation. Individual annihilation and collective annihilation. When we individually die, that is our individual annihilation. But when all the souls die, material creation becomes unmanifest. Right? And the souls in a deep sleep state go back to the body of the Lord. You know, the spirit souls came out of the Lord, came to this material nature, and then they again go back to the Lord. But they remain in a sleeping state. And when they wake up, they come back here again. Although they went all the way back to the Lord, because their consciousness hasn't become purified, their consciousness is projected externally to this material nature. When they wake up, when the creation it begins again, then again they come back here. And to go through the sufferings of this world. Is that clear?
Maybe it doesn't matter at all.
Okay, you can tell
us. What I'm wondering about is in the beginning, I was wondering whether there has ever been a time when souls would not feel the need to pass from God so that.
Yes. There are many souls who are with the Lord and they don't want to part from the Lord. Yes. It is unfortunate that we made that mistake and went away from him. But now we got the opportunity to go back to him. So let's take advantage of this opportunity. Yes.
Welche Rolle hat die Liebe für die Reinigung des Bewusstseins vor der Deckung?
hatred.
Which love is not
in purifying, in clear purifying the consciousness. Very good question. Now, before I answer the question, I'll first make a discrimination between love and lust. Love is exclusively for Krishna, for God. And lust is for others, for our sense gratification. Actually, what we want is sense gratification, but we go and say, I love you. Right? We don't actually love the person. But we actually, what we say is, I love you. So that's why I wanted to make the difference between love and lust clear. Now, love for the Lord is actually the way to purify our consciousness. The more we develop our love for the Lord, the more our consciousness will become purified, and vice versa. The more we purify our consciousness, the more we will feel the love for the Lord. So it plays a very important role. Yes, Mia. Yes. The question, okay, you got the question. So anyway, I'll repeat the question. How can we go back to Godhead when we have not purified our consciousness? Yes, you cannot go back to Godhead unless you purify your consciousness. Therefore, purify your consciousness. And you know how to purify your consciousness? How? By chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Cheto Darpana Marjana. This chanting of the holy name of the Lord cleanses the mirror of our mind, purifies our consciousness. Yes, Mother. That pure love for the between the devotees manifests in the form of friendship. The love is exclusively for the Lord, and that love for Krishna is reflected among the devotees in the form of friendship, to the innocent in the form of compassion, and to the offenders of the Lord in the form of neglect. I love Krishna and you love Krishna, so let's shake hands. I love Krishna and you need Krishna, so let me preach to you. I love Krishna, you hate Krishna, so I don't have anything to do with you. Right? In this way, our love for Krishna is reflected on different things. That is respect. Respect, trust, think. Yes?
But it also says that one should feel a sort of kind of friendship.
Is it? You can say that, like, but it is not up to the disciples to go and put his arm around the spiritual master's shoulder. if the spiritual master wants, he can kind of extend his friendship, sort of deal with his disciple in a friendly way. Actually, the spiritual master's role is quite a mixed role. Like, it's primarily, it is a spiritual master is a teacher. Then spiritual master is the father. Spiritual father. And spiritual master also can be, he may treat the disciple in a friendly way. But basically the spiritual master is a teacher, spiritual teacher, and the spiritual father. So any other question? Yes, Krishna Kumar. Yes, it will depend. See, there is generally it is said that it takes 1 year. Garuda Purana explains normally it takes 1 year for the spirit soul to get another body. But it will depend, you know, like it's no hard and fast rule as such. The more one is attached to matter, longer it will take him to get the next body. And the more one is free from matter, lesser time it will take for him to get the next body. And for a pure devotee, he just leaves the body and goes back to God. Like for example, when Dhruva Maharaj, time came for him to leave the body and go back to Godhead. A chariot came from Vaikuntha. So when Dhruva Maharaj was about to climb onto the chariot, then he saw Death standing there with folded hands and said, "Please bestow your mercy upon me." So Dhruva Maharaj put his foot on the head of Death and climbed onto the chariot. So for him, Death came just to climb onto the chariot to Vaikuntha. Yes. Yes, okay, very good question. Now let us consider there are two types of, our sleep also has got two types, two stages. One is a dream stage and the other is deep sleep. Like when you sleep, you are not completely asleep all the time. Sometimes you are dreaming and sometimes you are in dreamless state of sleep. Right? So similarly, as I said, like death is kind of a sleep. The difference is in death you wake up in another body. So between that time, like from one body to the other body, sometimes you are dreaming. Dream means experiences in the subtle body. And sometimes you are in a dreamless sleep. So when one is dreaming, he goes through the experience of heaven or hell. The subtle body actually is subjected to different types of sufferings or enjoyment. Is that clear? Yes.
Von der materiellen Sichtweise ist Demut eine Schwäche. Jedoch von der spirituellen heißt es, ist Demut eine Stärke. Wieso? Warum?
Yeah, you can explain.
Demut.
What is Demut?
Humbleness.
Humble. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, very good.
from a mature side, to be humble, use a disadvantage or
disadvantage, your weakness. Yes.
But from a spiritual side, understand that it's a good
Yes. The difference between material humbleness and spiritual humbleness is, you know, in material platform, someone is beaten and becomes humble. Someone doesn't have anything and he is forced to become humble. But spiritual humbleness is because he is rich with knowledge and understanding and realization, he automatically becomes submissive to the Lord. Just like a tree, when it is full of fruits, the tree bends down. So the spiritual humbleness is that. Like a tree full of fruits, automatically bends down. And a devotee is humble because he surrendered to the Lord. But it's not that a devotee is weak. A devotee, because he knows that he is surrendered and dependent upon the Lord, who is all powerful, almighty, therefore he doesn't have to worry about anything. So he naturally becomes very strong. Like a child, the child may be weak, but when he holds on to his father's hand, then he doesn't have any anxiety. Okay, yes. The spiritual dreams are real. When you dream of Krishna, when you dream of spiritual personality, they are real. And you will feel it also. When you dream about the spiritual personality, then you feel great joy when you dream. But the material dreams are useless. So don't keep worrying about that. Alright? We can understand it in this way. We are coming from spiritual sky, right? And the first position we come to in the material nature is the position of Brahma. Prabhupada said that. Not only should Prabhupada say that, I also found it in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And why not? Krishna's creation is inconceivable. Krishna's energy is inconceivable. Do you know how many universes are there? Inconceivable. So yes, every living entity been a Brahma at one time. Yes. Yes, always the connection is there with the super soul, but how often are you aware of it? Are you aware of your connection with the super soul when you are awake? Even when you are awake, you are not. So what to speak of when you are asleep? So even if when you are awake, you are not aware of your relationship with the super soul, then how can you hope that in your dream you'll have your relationship with the super soul? But the super soul is always there, and the super soul is always waiting. Krishna as the super soul is always waiting for us to turn, when we are going to turn our face to it. And as soon as we do that, he comes to Bhaktika Sangha. Yes, okay, let me explain it. You see, when we dream about the spiritual master Krishna, are we in contact with them? I think the question actually is, are we in contact with him? What is the difference? Okay, I got your point. Okay. You see, what is dream? Dream is the experiences in the subtle body when the gross body is not active. See, we consider the reality is what our gross body is experiencing. The senses of this body, whatever it's experiencing, we think that this is the reality. We fall asleep. The senses are asleep. The gross body is inactive. The subtle body is active. That is dream. When the subtle body is active, that is dream. But beyond the subtle body, there is the spirit soul and its spiritual experience. So those spiritual experiences are the experiences with Krishna and the spiritual body. Now apparently it appears to be like a dream, but actually it's not a dream, it's the absolute reality. So that is the difference. And yes, in the spiritual dream, in spiritual dreams, we become connected to the spiritual master and Krishna. You have to see whether the dictation is coming from the mind or the dictation is coming from Krishna or spiritual. Will spiritual master ever say take LSD? So if somebody says I had a dream of my spiritual master and he instructed me to take LSD, then that's nonsense. That's not a dream of the spiritual master. That was his mental concoction. The deities can go to the forest. Krishna loves to play in Vrindavan. So there is no harm in that. You see, first of all, these dreams one should keep very secret, because these are spiritual experiences, they should be kept as a secret. And the person who experiences it, he will realize himself whether it is a spiritual dream, whether it's a spiritual experience or just a mental concoction. Because the spiritual dream will fill the heart with joy. When you experience the dream, you will experience some very unique feeling, and that will indicate that it is spiritual. Because at that time the spirit soul is actually going into the spiritual realm, and spiritual realm is joyful, so he will experience that joy. And when you say the dream of the spiritual master Krishna, then we mean about these experiences, you know, the real spiritual experience, not dreams like my spiritual master came and he asked me to have LSD. These are not spiritual. Is the difference between? Oh. I get your point. I'm just thinking how to answer that. Is there any difference between you 25 years ago and today? Yes. In a way there is, but then again no. You're the same person. Right? Only thing is your body and your mind has gone through some changes. So similarly, ISKCON is the same ISKCON as it was in the 70s. But now, it is a different phase of time. Right? And it is progressing. Yeah. As I said, you know, 25 years ago, you were wearing shorts. You had so small hair, right? Today, there is some change in you, right? And, you know, these changes are natural process of development. But I'll say, yes, there is a change, but no, there is no change. Like ISKCON spirit is the same. It's still today, if you come to ISKCON, you know, you will be asked to chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, read Prabhupada's books, distribute Prabhupada's books, as in 17. Yes?
On breaking off the physical feinstoffliche Körper, wenn träumt und das wahre Gefangene neuen Körper bekommt.
Which location or which ways the study done situated or located when the dream stages occur?
Between the one body. You see, just as there are different material planes that we experience in the gross platform, similarly, there are... Okay, I'll do it sentence by sentence for her. Just as in the material plane, in the gross material plane, there are different regions. Similarly, in the subtle plane also there are different regions. And the subtle body, after leaving this gross body, after death, you know, according to its, you know, activities or karmic reaction, goes through different experience or different regions. In some region he suffers, in some regions he enjoys. Is that?
Was passiert mit meiner Seele? Ich bin ein Krimineller. Ich spüre mein Leben ganz so durch, dass ich angefangen habe. Ich war nur ein Krimineller. So, my life was all life of that. And it happens to myself.
If I'm a criminal and?
Yep. And I live my whole life as a criminal.
Yes.
In a bad way.
Yes.
What happens to myself? Und ein Krieger hat ja keine Aufgabe mehr. Der fährt ja mit einem Wurf ist da ausgegangen. Der tut alles.
Das ist Lilella, oder?
Ja, 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 klar.
Yeah, a criminal will be punished.
Ja, er wird dann bestraft werden. Und auf was wir weisen? Und in which way?
Well, if he is caught in this life, he will be put into prison. And if the Swiss police didn't catch him and he dies before that, then there are the superior police force called Jamaraj and his Jamadutas. They will take him to the task.
So then they decide to resign, they are going to be sent in this task. And in a few years, they will send them from the police system, Jamaraj, and have a supporters and task in their own field and be sent to the task.
Because, you see, the karmic principles are the law of nature. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, if you act in a sinful way, criminal way, then you have to suffer the consequences. But a criminal, if he goes to the king and asks for forgiveness, then he will be absolved of his crime. The king, we are not talking about the king, I'm talking about the king of kings, and that's Krishna. So you can, yeah, origin of Krishna. He doesn't have any origin. He is self-manifest, and that is God.
Krishna
or
the Krishna God?
Both. God is Krishna and Krishna is God.
Only God.
Yes. Yes.
Only God.
And that is Krishna.
Krishna?
Yes. No. Yes, there is one God. Very good point. There is only one God. And right. And that God is all attractive. That's why his name is Krishna. The Sanskrit word Krishna means all attractive. Just pray to him.
Aber da steht irgendwo geschrieben, du sollst dir kein Bildnis machen. Das heißt, du sollst dir nicht vor dir kein Bildnis, kein etwas vorstellen, dieses ist Gott, oder du bist in diesem Raum. Du kannst Gott anbeten, wo es immer ist. Du brauchst kein Bild vor dir, du brauchst keinen
heiligen
Raum.
Okay, my question is, who said that?
What can read it?
Bible says that God doesn't have any form.
So, his question was actually different.
Who said that? That's what in Bible. Where in Bible? What is that? Yeah, the thing is that, you know, it is common sense. If God is there, God has a form, then one can naturally have his form depicted, and it is not that the God's form is imagined. He manifests himself with his absolute potency. And that is the difference between an image and the deity. You have a grandfather. Now, if you have a picture of your grandfather, is there anything wrong with that? Yes. So that's why, I mean, I couldn't understand, like, because my understanding was that Bible does say that God has a form. And, you know, God's image should not be accepted. That's why, you know, anyway, my knowledge about Bible is very limited, so I don't want to fall into that. But in Quran it says that God's, Allah's form should not be imagined. That I accept. The Quran says that. But why they say this, I don't know. But anyway, our understanding is that the Lord has a form. How can, you know, we have form and the Lord doesn't have a form? Anyway, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna.